Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church that meets at 2970 Baird Road in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today a message that seeks to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious person and finished work of salvation accomplished for sinners at the cross. Please stay tuned.
I want to speak with you today on what it is to be the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. I realize that this is not a popular subject. In fact, today many consider it politically incorrect to refer to anybody as a sinner. Some have even gone so far as to change the original words of Amazing Grace, where it speaks of the grace of God, to a wretch like me, and it's been changed to someone like me. But this term, the chief of sinners, is one that the Apostle Paul wrote of in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 15. And the verse begins with, "This is a faithful saying." Some consider it to be an odd saying, but he says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he adds, "Of whom I am chief." What a mighty change the grace of God makes, because we know that before Christ was revealed in the heart of the Apostle Paul, he was raised a Pharisee of Pharisees. In fact, he spoke of his Jewishness and his religion in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5. As far as the law was concerned, he followed every detail. His parents did, and then as he became of age, he continued in that train. He says in Philippians 3, 5, "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee." And then he says, "Concerning zeal," in verse 6, "persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." That was his view of himself. But then he says in Philippians 3, 7, "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung." When he's speaking there of dung, manure, he's speaking of those things that he once considered to be of value, his works. But he says, "As dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness," not one that I've endeavored to work out, "which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ." In other words, the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, or by that faithful working out of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what a change from what he was before to what he declares here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, that he was the chief of sinners. Such is the change that the grace of God makes. But I realize this is an expression that is strange to many ears. It's like traveling to another country where they speak English, and some of the terminology that is used is different than what you are used to. I would say that in religion, this is an expression that is different than what most, even in Christendom, are used to hearing. You'll hear popular preachers today saying that they never speak of sin. And when asked why, they say, well, there's enough negativity in the world. We're trying to be positive. Well, that's like telling a patient that has a terminal illness that all will be well if you just turn up the music and distract your mind a little bit. Dear friend, we have to come face to face with what it means to be the chief of sinners. And that's my objective here in speaking with you today. When Paul declared that he was the chief of sinners, was it that he loved sin, that he laid down in it, that he wallowed in it, that he gloried in it? No, far from it. I believe any that have been taught of the Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit agonize over their sin, and even come to the point of saying, if the Lord could deliver me from this body so that I would stop sinning, glory be to His name. I believe the Lord brings us to that point where we desire to depart and be delivered from the body of sin that we carry about until the final day of our redemption. Those that the Lord Jesus Christ has bought, when He comes again, will raise their bodies and give them heavenly bodies like unto Himself, where there's no more sin. So Paul is not saying that he loves sin or lies down in it, wallows in it, glories in it. The Spirit of God had taught him otherwise. But three things that I would say make the difference from what he was before to what he declares here. And the first is simply this, that he has been made to see the exceeding preciousness of Christ, his Savior. When you're in darkness, you don't consider whether or not you're dirty, but turn on the light, and the closer you get to the light, the more you're aware of just how filthy and dirty you are. And in this particular portion that I read for you from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the reason that Paul could declare that he was the chief of sinners was because Christ had been revealed in him. The order of this verse is very important. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then he says, "of whom I am chief." When I was taught in preacher's school, and this before the Lord ever opened my heart to Christ in the gospel, I was following along in my denomination, having been raised and taught to say a sinner's prayer when I was a very young age, and then to cling to that profession and to clean up my life. And I began to work my way up through that denomination, through preacher's school, in different degrees of education, until it pleased God to arrest me and cross my path with His Word and cause me in Isaiah 6, which was the word that the Lord brought home to my heart, even while I was busy about what I thought serving God, and yet I was lost. And it was that particular portion of Scripture that it pleased the Lord to use to show me that indeed I was the chief of sinners. In Isaiah 6, in the year that Uzziah died, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His holy train filled the temple, and the seraphim and cherubims around the throne cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And as His eyes were opened, He declares, "Woe is me, I am undone." And such was my case. And yet it was at that particular time that the Lord, by His Spirit, made precious to me the very person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Isaiah said that he saw the Lord high and lifted up, in John chapter 12, our Lord referred to that particular time and spoke of Isaiah having seen Christ's glory, seeing Christ high and lifted up. Christ said, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." He was speaking there of His death, being lifted up on the cross, but also his resurrection, where he rose again and was lifted up on high, where God the Father accepted his sacrifice on behalf of those sinners that God from eternity purposed to save. And by that one death, they have been saved. And so the point here is that it is in seeing the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his exceeding preciousness as the Savior, that one is brought to declare, "Of whom I am chief," as far as being a sinner. He must increase, I must decrease. But I've been taught back in religion to try to hammer home to people their sinfulness. And then once you got them wallowing in their sin, then endeavor to preach to them a Christ. I won't say the Christ because I didn't know him at that time, but a Christ. And in my ignorance, I put the responsibility on the sinner to look or to do something to fill the gap between Christ and himself. And at that point in time, I was taught that that was the hand of faith, that it was the sinner that reached out to Christ, the Savior, and that Christ was waiting for the sinner to reach out. Do you see how impossible that is? If I'm the chief of sinners, who am I to reach out to a holy Savior? No, it's just the opposite, that he condescended to become a man and come down and live and die a sacrificial death, that he might by his shed blood redeem sinners, of whom I am chief. And so this is what Paul is expressing here, as the Lord was pleased to open his eyes by his sovereign grace. So that's the first reason why there was this change, this difference from what Paul was to what he declares here. But secondly, not only was he caused to see the exceeding preciousness of Christ, his Savior, but the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And that is not so much what he did as a sinner, but being a sinner. Notice he says here that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It is a state of being. A lot of people talk about being a sinner by what they do, but dear friend, being a sinner is who we are by nature. And so to declare oneself the chief of sinners is to recognize by God's grace and his Spirit teaching us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Can you say, "I am sin"? Not simply that it dwells in me, but that I am sin itself. And if God were to deal with me based on who I am, he would have to cast me into hell. But that's why Jesus Christ came into the world. His blood was interposed to satisfy a holy God on behalf of sinners for whom Christ died. And therein Christ is their salvation. But thirdly, I believe that what Paul is declaring here is the infinite holiness and perfection of God's law. You see, as a blind, lost religionist, he really did not see the law as it was set forth to be. In endeavoring to keep the law, he thought he was doing a pretty good job. As we read a little while ago in Philippians 3, before the law, he said, blameless. Well, that was from his perspective. But from God's perspective, he was nothing but a sinner. And it wasn't until the Lord opened his eyes that he saw now that that law condemned him not just for his deeds or words, but his very thoughts. Scripture says, even the thought of foolishness is sin before God. So, dear friend, this is a work of the Spirit. This is how the Spirit of God teaches those sinners that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. He was not glorying in his sin and declaring himself to be the chief of sinners, just the opposite. What before was his glory, not seeing his sin, now, by the grace of God, was his shame. And so it is with self-righteousness. There are many today that have their definition of sin, and yet their attitude toward it is that of a self-righteous Pharisee, as that attitude toward the publican who came into the temple and dared not even look heavenward, but beat upon his breast and cried out, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." The self-righteous Pharisee standing there thought of that publican and thanked God that he was not like him, and referred to him as being like an adulterer. Oh, dear friend, when the Lord causes you to see yourself as evil, to see yourself as worse than anyone else out there, there's hope then that the Spirit of God has begun a work in your heart. But what does it mean to be the chief of sinners? We've seen why the change, why the difference with the Apostle Paul. But what does it mean to be the chief of sinners? Well, the first thing I would say to you is that one who sees themselves as the chief of sinners, they see sin not only in its fruits, but as a root. Not only its actions, but as a nature in which one dwells, and in that nature is no good thing. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, what does that mean, all have sinned? Another way of translating that is all did sin. The way it's written in the original, it is as if everybody born in this world sinned at one time. Well, the only explanation to that is to go back to Genesis and read about the fall of Adam, the very first man that God created. And when God gave him that commandment that of all the fruit of the garden he could eat except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and when he partook of that fruit, yes, Eve was the first to partake and gave it to him, but the scripture does not say by one woman sin entered into the world, but by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, or all did sin. Adam was the representative. And when he sinned, that means all of his posterity that would follow him would be born in that state of sinnerhood. So again, this has to do with our state of being before God. And lest anybody think that that nature, that sin nature, can be reformed or educated or changed, think again. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, and here he is writing as one already converted to Christ, one in whom the Spirit of God dwelt, but his confession in verse 17 of Romans 7 is this: "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." He's speaking there as a believer, much as he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, what we're looking at. He does not speak there of having been the chief of sinners, but he says, "I am the chief of sinners." Present tense. This is the work of the Spirit, that when the light of Christ and the gospel is brought to bear upon our soul and our heart, in the very innermost part of our being, we acknowledge that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. What we thought was righteousness, now we see as nothing but filthy rags. And he says, "For to will is present with me." It's the Spirit that makes us willing in the day of His power. But He says, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Such is the depravity of the heart. Even what men might call good deeds or good works, they are evil because they're tainted with sin. They're motivated by selfish thoughts. It's like when somebody helps another person, if they don't get recognition, they immediately begin to complain about that other person not thanking them. Well, what was your motive? Why did you do it? Why do you need the recognition? So you can see even what men call good is evil. And so that's what it means to be the chief of sinners. They are such that feel in their nature, and only the Spirit of God can teach us this, the vile lusts of the heart. They see themselves as nothing better than a beast, and they look at their past, even whatever good they thought that they might have done, and they see it as nothing but evil. They have no room for self-admiration or self-justification. You've heard about the self-admiration club. Well, those that are in that particular group are they which are yet blind and wretched and lost. They think they see, but they're still blind. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. And he says, I see myself as such. One who sees themselves as the chief of sinners, they think no one has so wicked a heart and so bad and evil a nature as they do. In fact, Jeremiah wrote, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Some people say, well, I know my heart. Do you? Our own blindness keeps us from knowing the true nature of our heart. So that's the first definition of what it is to be the chief of sinners. But secondly, those that are the chief of sinners view their hearts as nothing, but they give all the glory to God Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Paul is not just saying, of whom I am chief, as far as being a sinner and so despairing. He says, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It's preceded by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did the Lord Jesus Christ come to save everybody? Well, we know He didn't, because He Himself told the Pharisees, He didn't come to call the righteous or the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. And one that sees himself or herself as the chief of sinners then gives all the glory to Christ. That's what it is to be the chief of sinners. No glory to myself, all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps a scripture that best sums this up, and one which the Lord has used over and over again in my own heart and life, is 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So, if you are the Lord's, it's because God has made Christ to be unto you, first of all, wisdom. You see in Him the very wisdom of God, and how it is that He can be a just God and yet a Savior. Well, it's only through the death of Christ. And righteousness. He's not requiring of you some righteousness that then in return, he saves you. But Christ has been made that righteousness. In other words, when he came into this world, he lived a life to earn that righteousness. Though he were son, yet learned he obedience, the scripture says. And upon completion of his death, he not only fulfilled the precepts of the law, but he fulfilled the penalty, which is death. The wages of sin is death. And upon completion of his death, God thereby once for all declared righteous, that's what it is to justify, everyone that he had given to his son from eternity, chosen, not for any good in them, but according to the election of his grace. And the sanctification, that word means to be set apart unto Christ. We're set apart by him. When he died, we died in him. When he rose again, we rose in him, if indeed we are of that number that he came to seek and to save. They're called sinners. Those are the ones that he purchased their redemption. And then he's made unto us redemption. There is a redemption that he accomplished at Calvary, and yet there is that final bodily redemption that those that are his await at his coming again, when they will be raised and shall ever be with him and made like him. So this is, again, those that see themselves as the chief of sinners. They give all the glory to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They glorify him for having chosen them, redeemed them, and bringing them to Christ, because he saved them from their sin in his death. And they are now sanctified to him by the Spirit, set apart to him from the very curse of sin and from the very power of sin, and one day from the very presence of sin. But thirdly, and this to close, what is the meaning of being the chief of sinners? We've seen that it is to see sin not only as a fruit, but as a root, as who I am. Secondly, it is to give all the glory to God in Christ for our salvation. But thirdly, it is to live upon that faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. In other words, we never get beyond being sinners. It's not like you've fallen in the dust and you get up and shake the dust off and say, well, that's it then, I'll never fall again. Now, with deepest humility and understanding, we say Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Salvation was accomplished there at Calvary from the curse of sin. Salvation is accomplished through the work of the Spirit in delivering us from our own self-righteous thoughts and our sinful thinking that we're somebody, and seeing Christ as all, and we continue to look to him. We're not under the power of sin, so that we're deceived by the pride of our own righteousness. Any righteousness of my own is at best a sinner's righteousness. But we're brought to be ashamed of that. And we renounce any arrogance or ignorance in thinking that we're somebody, to talk about it or trust in it or expect to be justified or saved by it, either in whole or in part. No. Who am I? I'm the chief of sinners. Who is Christ? He is all. Dear friend, is this your testimony? Only the Lord himself can open your eyes and cause you to see the sinfulness of your sin, but to see the preciousness of the exalted Savior. Wait on him.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.